Thank you indeed, Brother Elliot. It's certainly a joy to be here. We pray that God will bless our coming together, and certainly a joy also to see our brother, the Reverend Crane and Mrs. Crane. It's certainly good to renew fellowship once again, and certainly they have been over the years much in our prayers, and especially Mrs. Crane. We thank God for them and for their faithful labors in the service of the Master. I want us to open the Word of God this morning in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the chapter 2, and the verse number 37. We'll commence reading up. That's the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter. And we'll commence to read at verse number 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, the breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer and seek the face of God at his throne. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee today that we're in a preaching house. We thank thee that we're in the house of worship, where we can come to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we thank thee for thy precious word that we have already read. We pray that thou wilt open the scriptures to our hearts. And, O God, we pray that we might know something of that Emmaus Road experience while thou didst talk with thy disciples by the way, and that thou didst open unto them the scriptures. And they made that confirmation and affirmation, did not our hearts burn within us whilst they talked to us by the way. And, O God, I pray in Jesus' name that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt, Lord, take of thy word and write thy word upon each and every one of our hearts. Bless this congregation as they would take, Lord, a step into the future. And we pray that thou wilt, Lord, give them wisdom. Thou hast said in thy word, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And today we ask of thee, Lord, I need wisdom to bring thy word this morning. And this congregation needs wisdom to make decisions for the future of this congregation. And I pray that thou wilt indeed give them the wisdom that they need. Cover us in the precious blood. Oh, may we know a deep sense of thy holy presence. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his sake and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. The beginning of this year, God gave me the opportunity to go to Singapore to our brother Ferguson and also to New Zealand to hold some meetings there. And when I was there, they were asking me a question concerning the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. And they asked me what was the secret of the blessing of God upon this denomination in the years that were past. What was the secret of the blessing of God in the early days and also in the days that followed in this witness of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. And I believe genuinely the ingredients of the characteristics of the blessing of God in our denomination in the days are past are still the same for the future. And as you take a step out into the future, I pray that this congregation might be known with these characteristics that I want to draw your attention to, and I find them in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. People say to me today, but surely we're living in different days. It's not no longer 1951 at the commencement of our church. We're living in different days, and that's true. This is a different year, indeed, 2016. But the Word of God's still the same. And the Word of God in 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Now he notices, says, I will do this. And he says, "Then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." And so therefore, the blessing of God can still be upon us in these days in which we live. And thank God the Lord is not finished with us as a people or as a congregation or as a denomination yet, as we turn to Him and ask the Lord for His blessing and His power in our midst. What kind of people were they in the early days, and what kind of people does this congregation need to be as you move forward in the coming days? And I pray that God will guide you on Tuesday night, and that God will give you the real wisdom to make that decision that will glorify and honor the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to open your Bibles in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and I want to notice some five simple characteristics about the church here in the book of the Acts of the Apostles that I believe are essential. They were the ingredients of blessing in the days that were past, and thank God they're still the ingredients of blessing for the days to come. Now, the first thing I want you to notice, that the church in the book of the Acts of the Apostles was a people of prayer. If you turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 14, it says this: "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Go down to verse 24. "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." Now that, of course, is a good verse for this congregation for Tuesday night. Lord, show us. Lord, would you show us? Now, I don't know many names there are, but it says here in this verse, "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." And friend, let me tell you the secret of the early church and the secret of the early Free Presbyterian witness was this: the secret of prayer. In the book of chapter 2 of the same book, if you turn to verse number 42, we read it this morning. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Turn to chapter 4. And just let me just show you that this is throughout this passage or this book of the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?" Go down to verse number 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all the things which they possessed was their own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." But what was the secret of all of this? It was, "And when they had prayed." Turn to chapter 12 of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Let me just show you it once again. In Acts chapter 12 and verse number 5, it says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Verse number 12, it says, of that same chapter, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, which his surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And friend, that's the first ingredient of a church that is needed in this day and generation. It is a people of prayer who know how to do business with God. Jonathan Edwards, godly Jonathan Edwards, called it storming heaven by prayer. Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary, said, transacting business with God. And I ask you this morning, have you transacted business with God today? Have you been on your face before God at the throne of grace in prayer? Martin Luther said, if I fail to spend at least 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. Charles Haddon Spurgeon told fellow preachers, it should be one rule never to see the face of man before seeing the face of God. D.L. Moody said, he never made long prayers, but he was never long without prayer. And friend, let me tell you, that will be the secret of your decision on Tuesday night and the secret of your future as you move forward on your knees before the grace or before the throne of God in prayer. I've been preaching on the life of Elijah. And friend, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah steps onto the stage and he stands before a wicked king and his wicked queen Jezebel. But as he stood before Ahab, he announced in the name of God the judgment of God upon that land and that there would be no rain. But friend, let me tell you, before he ever stood before the king, he stood before God in prayer. Because the Bible tells us in the book of James chapter 5 concerning that same story that he prayed that it might not rain. In other words, he asked God, he transacted business with God, and then he could stand before the king and he could announce the judgment of God and he could say clearly, it shall not rain, thus saith the Lord, because he had done business in the secret place of prayer. And let me tell you, my friend, in the time of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you'll notice there was a time of persecution. It was a time of opposition, and yet they were going forward and they were claiming ground for Jesus. Why? Because they learned how to pray. And you know, the disciples asked the Savior, he said, Lord, teach us to pray. And let me tell you, my friend, you and I need to be taught to pray. You and I need to know the secret of prayer and how to transact that business with God. Robert Murray McShane said this, I feel it far better to begin with God, to see his face first, to get my soul near to him before it is near another. Do you have that conviction this morning? Friend, I believe that I need that in my heart, that before I get near the face of another, that I spend time and that I bow my head and my face before the Lord to see the face of God first. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 18 verse 1 says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Do you think that's just in the book for nothing? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And surely that's what we want. Surely that's what this congregation needs in this day. That's what the free church needs. Because that was the secret of the free church in the early days, friend. When God rained his blessing upon us, it moved forward on its knees. Yes, in a time of opposition, in a time of persecution. You know, people excuse the lack of movement today. And they say, but we're in a different age. And people are not the same anymore. Friend, that's true. All of that's true. But I want to tell you, whilst we're not in the same age, and whilst people are not the same anymore, it is also true, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and the same today, and he's the same forever. And he's the one that answers prayer. And if you believe that with all your heart, then you need to pray. Men and women Boys and girls need to know the power of prayer, the calling upon the face of God in prayer. And that is the first ingredient of the blessing of God that I believe that was upon the Free Presbyterian Church in the days that are past. They knew how to pray. Their prayer meetings were not the Cinderella meetings of the church. My, there was power in those prayer meetings. And that will lead me to the second thing about the second ingredient. It was not only a church of prayer. It was a church of power. It was a church of power. Now turn with me once again to the book of the Acts, chapter 1. And this is what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples before he went up into heaven. He said this, "But ye shall receive power." Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Friend, let me tell you, my friend, that is the secret. It says ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then turn to chapter 4 and verse number 31. And it says this again. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word with boldness. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. My, there was something that was in those meetings in those early days. There was real power in those meetings. Now notice the secret. It says in chapter 1. Let's go back to chapter 1 again. Ye shall receive power after. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what we're talking about, my friend, is not the power that's worked up by preachers, or it's not the power that's worked even up by a denomination. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. My, for to be witnesses, they needed the power. It was a day of opposition. It was a day of difficulty. It was a time, my friend, of persecution. But my, there was something in those meetings. There was power in those meetings. My, it says there in chapter 4, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great graces upon them all. What was the secret? Verse 31, chapter 4. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, let me say this, my friends. I know that we live in a day when the charismatic movement has taken the Holy Ghost and abused the blessed Spirit of God, and they have misused what he does in the church. But let me tell you this. The early days, the preachers were not afraid to preach about the power of the Holy Ghost. They were not afraid to exhort their congregation, "Be filled! Be filled with the Holy Ghost." Why? Because that's what God says. That's what God commands, that we're to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Is there something lacking today in this day in which we live? I believe it is. We're lacking in the power that we once had. You see, there was authority in the pulpit. There was power in the pulpit. Whenever the preacher stood up, whenever I talked about our Brother Paisley and Brother Foster and Brother Wiley and those early days and Brother Cook and the rest of them that stood in the pulpit, let me tell you, when they stepped into the pulpit, there was power in the pulpit. There was real power. There was real unction. It wasn't that they had great education. Yes, I know they're certainly much more than me in the education side, but I tell you, that wasn't their secret. That wasn't the secret of their power. The secret of their power is still the secret of power. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then ye shall be witnesses unto me. And the place was shaken where they were assembled together. My friend, this was not the working up of the flesh. This was not something, an energy of man. This was authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes preachers are tempted to preach to impress their congregation. I want to tell you, I didn't come to impress anybody this morning, but I have a word here from God, and I believe that this is a secret for the future, as it was a secret of the past. And if you and I want to see the work of God go forward, if you and I want to see the free church re-energized and taken forward in the days to come, then we need the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost as it was in the days that are past. Now, we can't live in the past, but let me tell you, my friend, the conditions are still the same, and the God of the past is the God of the present, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we should not excuse our powerlessness, or our lack of energy, or our lack of moving forward. We should not excuse it in any way because of the day in which we're living in. We have got to look to God, because God, I am the Lord. This is what He says in Malachi. He says, I am the Lord and I change not. I haven't changed. And if there is a change, it's not me that has changed, says God. It's the people of God have changed, and that's true. Many of God's people have changed. They've lost the vision. They've lost the power. And they've lost the power of prayer. As I said, preachers are sometimes trying to impress the congregation. Let me tell you, my friend, the preacher in the pulpit needs authority. But it's not the authority and the wisdom of man. It's the authority of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God. And that's the only thing that's going to move this district. And that's the only thing that'll take this congregation forward. And that's the only thing, my friend, whoever stands in this pulpit, that is what you need to pray for this man who'll stand in the pulpit in the coming days. Oh, God, give our preacher power. Give him power in the pulpit. I sing a wee hymn, take me back to the old-fashioned meetings. Lead me on in the old-fashioned way, for the Savior I trust never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And friend, that's true. It's true. Oh, believe it, brother. Believe it, sister. Be encouraged in the Lord this morning. This is what He says in Isaiah 44. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. And I think that many of God's people have lost the thirst. My, they're not thirsty. Ah, they're thirsty for other things, but they've lost the thirst for God. And God says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and I will pour floods upon the dry ground. And we must confess, oh God, the ground's dry. The ground's dry. And friend, let's not fool ourselves. There's not the same movement that there has been. And the ground's dry. But God says, I'll pour floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Surely that's what we want. Surely that's the prayer of our heart. Oh God, do it, Lord. Lord, pour out, open the windows of heaven, pour us out the blessing again, Lord. I remember an old boy was one day. He took his grandchild up for a sail up there, this little lake beside them. It was a beauty spot, and my grand had often gone up in this boat, and one day he took up his wee boy up the lake in the boat, and as he was going up the lake, he was pointing out different things. There were on the side of the lake. My, you could only see it when you were in the water. And as he was going up in the boat, he noticed and he says, son, look at those beautiful flowers. Tell me, son, what do you know about botany? The boy says, what, Granda? He says, what do you know about botany? The boy says, Granda, I don't know a thing. Oh, the Granda says, let me tell you, son, if you don't know about botany, you have lost a quarter of your life if you don't know about botany. And as they were traveling up the lake, they were going a little bit, they were going past these big rocks and all the rest of it, the side of the water. And the Granda looks and he says, son, would you look at the formation of those rocks? He says, tell me this, son. He says, what do you know about geology? And the wee boy looks and he says, Granda, you're talking awful big words. What are you talking about? And he says, son, let me tell you this. As you go through life, if you don't learn about geology, you'll lose a quarter of your life. And as they were traveling up, he didn't realize it was getting night. And it started to get down the dust, and the stars started to come out in the heavens. And as they were going up, and Granny was caught up with the stars, he says, son, tell me, what do you know about astrology?
The wee boy says, "Granda, I can't even spell it, never mind, I could hardly pronounce it. What are you talking about?" He says, "Son, let me tell you this. If you don't learn about astrology, you'll lose a quarter of your life." Now, that was nearly 3/4 away by the time of this, because he didn't know about botany, and he didn't know about geology, and he didn't know about astronomy. And the granddad realized he had gone so far up the lake, and time had passed, and he turned the boat round, and he says, "Turn the boat round to take the wee boy back up, back to where they started." And he turned the boat, and this big wave just came up and in the water, and just turned the boat over. And they were there in the water, and the granddad, he started to splutter and he could hardly move in the water. And the wee boy, he just started to glide through the water. And he looked round and he shouts to "Granddad, what do you know about swimming?" He says, "Nothing, son." Well, he says, "You've lost all your life." Friend, let me tell you this. I'm saying this before God. There are things that you don't need to know. The things that you never know about, it'll not matter tuppence. But if you're standing for God, if you're witnessing for God, friend, listen, you need the power of God. That's what you need to know. And if you have no power in your witness, let me tell you, it'll fall. And it'll fail. But let me tell you, when it's in the power of God, this is what God says: "My word shall not return unto me void. It shall prosper." Now, God's not reliant on you and me, but God uses the tools of you and me. And God wants to use us for his honor and for his glory. Thank God, the preachers in the days of our past, friend, they knew the power of the Spirit of God. Just one other wee verse there. Go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, go to verse number 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of faith and of power." Verse 10, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake." It was the power of the Spirit of God. And that was the secret, my friend, of the blessing of God, and that will be the secret. Now, let's be quite honest. You know, it's very possible, even in the free church, friend. It's very possible to go through all the formalities. Listen, and you and I can get into a dead formalism. And you just come to church, and you leave the church, and that's just it. You come, you go, and you come, you go, and you come, you go. And you're doing it because you did it. And that's what happened in churches that are apostate denominations today. That's exactly what happened. They took their eyes of God. They took their eyes of the Lord. And they relied upon other things. Let me tell you this. The preacher, it's not education that will make him mighty in the pulpit. It's the anointing of the Spirit of God. It's God's Spirit. And that was the secret of the blessing in the days that are past. There were people of prayer. There were people of power. Thirdly, and this is important also, they were people of praise. Let's turn in the book of the Acts of Apostles quickly again. Chapter 2, Acts. Verse number 47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Turn to chapter 5, verse number 41. "And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Turn to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 5. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Verse 8. "And there was great joy in that city." Turn to verse 39. "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. But the eunuch went on his way," what? "Rejoicing." Chapter 13. Look at chapter 13, verse number 52. "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Chapter 20. The book of the Acts of the Apostles. And the verse number 24. "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course
with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let me tell you something about the Free Church. They love to sing. I remember the early missions that were held in the Free Church across the churches. Let me tell you, they'd come out from old dead apostate denominations and they got liberty. And they loved to sing the old hymn. The children of the Lord had a right to shout and sing. Their way is growing bright and their souls on the wing. We're going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they weren't afraid to sing. And they didn't care whether in tune, out of tune, or tune their own, as Doc used to talk about. They sang because they were singing unto the Lord. There was praise in those meetings. The Lord's name was praised. They were happy in the Lord. And let's be honest, many of God's people have lost their happiness. If you meet them down the street and they say, "How are you, brother?" "Miserable as usual, thank God." Tell my friend, be honest before God. Does that testify to the glory of God? Tell me, what does that do when the world looks upon and sees a miserable Christian? What does the world see whenever they see you? As long as if God had died and forgot you in his will. The Bible tells us this. This is what the book says. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now I'm asking you this morning, how strong are you? Are you happy? Are you happy? I'm not talking about worldly happiness. I'm not talking you're satisfied with what you've got as far as the bank is concerned. I'm talking about, are you happy in the Lord? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your joy of the Lord. You're happy in Christ. Because let me tell you, my friend, if you're only happy in what because of something you own, whenever it's taken away, then you'll be miserable. If you're happy because you've got a big house, let me tell you, what if the house goes? Where's your happiness? Your happiness is in the Lord. That's the secret. You're happy in the Lord. And let me tell you, my friend, whatever the Lord wills, you're happy to go with him. What does the Word of God say? I will bless the Lord. Listen. At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And let me be honest, friend. I've known what it is to be in the valley. And I've known what it is for things to be taken away. But I'll tell you this. My happiness is still there. Because I'm happy in the Lord. My happiness is in him. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What did Paul say in Philippians 4? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, he has to emphasize it. And again I say, rejoice. Now let's be honest. Let's do a litmus test. How happy are you in the Lord this morning? Does the world know that you're a child of God and that God has saved you from your sin? Do you show that to the world? Because the devil wants to make you miserable. And you know, friend, to be honest, there are many of God's people and they've lost their joy. And if they were honest before God, they're backslidden. Because they're not the people they were with God. They're not happy in the Lord. They've lost the joy of Christ. And God didn't save you to make you miserable. You were miserable. But God made you, saved you, and thank God he has given you a joy that the world knows nothing about. 1 Peter talks about unspeakable joy. Full of glory. And the Free Church, when you came into the meetings, let me tell you, my friend, people always say, listen, whenever I came into the meetings of the preacher, those people love singing the praises of Christ. They love to lift up their voices. They're not singing unto men. They're singing unto the Lord. They didn't need a choir because the congregation was the choir. Everybody joined in. They were people of prayer. They were people of power. There were people of praise. There was something else, friend. There were people of progress. Because you know what happened? Well, let's see. Acts chapter 2, let's go back to it again. We read it this morning. It says in verse 46, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord added to the church daily. There was progress. Go to chapter 4. Verse number 4. Howbeit, chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Let me tell you, the number of the men were 5,000. But God didn't only save the men. He saved the men. He saved the women. He saved the children as well. But God added to the church daily. Look at chapter 4, verse 32. And it says, and the multitude of them that believed. The multitude. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. And friend, that's what you need to get back to, where God's people are united together with one heart and with one soul because they love the one Savior. And it says, the multitude of them that believed, neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things come. Turn to chapter 5, verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Turn to chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Multiplication, adding to the church. My God's moving here. Turn to chapter 9, verse number 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Now let's be honest before God. Is that what's happening today? Is that the testimony today? Multiplication? It was wrong. Surely we're missing something. Surely we have to be honest before God and say, God, we're not seeing the progress. We're not seeing the movement forward. We're not seeing this mighty work which you did in days that were past whenever you added to the church daily. Chapter 11 of the Acts of the Apostles. It didn't stop there, friend. Look at chapter 11, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Chapter 12, verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Chapter 14, and it came to pass, verse 1, in Iconium, that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. Chapter 16, verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. That's the movement of God, friend. And that's what we need to get back to. Now that we go back to the usual thing. But it's not the same, brother. Don't insult the Lord, friend. God is still the same. And God is still working. And we thank God for the ones and twos that God is giving to us. We long to see multitudes more. Surely we haven't been satisfied with that. Have we lost the vision? What does the word God say? Without a vision, the people perish. You read the chapter 15 of the book of John's Gospel, and it says this, that God wants you to bear fruit. And then it says God wants you to bear more fruit. And then it says, and God wants you to bear much fruit. Fruit, more, much. Progress. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Yes, it is true. There was a mighty mission in this spot many years ago. And there are people that are here today that God saved in that mission. But do we not want to see it again? Do we not want to see God move again? Are we satisfied to just come and go? Are we satisfied that the vast majority of Lurgan people are going to hell this morning and have no thought of God and have no time for God? And not only the people of Lurgan, our families are dying in their sin and they're going to hell as well. Have we lost the vision? That brings me to the last thing. They were a people of prayer. They were a people of power. They were a people of praise. They were a people of progress. Because they were a people with a passion. They had a passion. Acts chapter 18, verse 5, as we draw to close this morning. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Chapter 20, verse number 31, it says this, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. Let me go back to the beginning, friend. And Brother Crane will know this as well. Let me go back to the early prayer meetings. And whenever God's people prayed, friend, you heard many of God's people crying, shedding their tears. When they're asking God to save their families, their hearts were broken. For they knew their loved ones were going to hell. And they wanted God to save them for the glory of Jesus and to rescue their loved ones from the pit of a lost eternity. It was Booth that was once asked by some of the students and workers, the Salvation Army, they tried everything. And yet there was no movement and nothing was done. And they wrote to the general. And they asked him for the secret of his success. And he wrote back these words. Try tears. Have you a broken heart this morning? As you look around our countryside, as you see a godless people in many places, as you look into your own families and see your young people, many of them were brought up, perhaps even in this church, went to Sunday school here. But they're not sitting this morning here. And their seats are empty. Does that break your heart? Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray.
God, touch my heart. God, fill my life. God, give me souls. Each day. God, give us back a love. See that word there in the scriptures that says, go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. See that word? See that word, compel? You know what it means? It means lovingly persuade. With a heart of love. God, give us back love for one another. God, give us back love for your work and your word. And God, give us back love for the souls of men and women. There are people with a passion. Make us that people again. That's my prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. We pray that thou wilt take of thy word and write it upon our hearts. And as this congregation gathers together to make a decision for the future, O God, I pray that thou wilt send them a man of thy choice. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. A man of prayer. A man of power. A man of passion. That will take this congregation forward in praise and progress. That thy name might be honored in Lurgan. In Jesus' name.